into this. We have national holidays and observances that have become ingrained into the fabric of our country, and you know, some are pretty neutral and some are kind of goofy, but for years there have been ball games, barbecues, brunches that were intended to be the way we honor our mothers and our fathers. And I remember taking one grandmother who was interested in going out to brunch for Mother's Day. You know, we would do that. And I don't know if you realize, Mother's Day was initially celebrated as a church service in West Virginia. So the Amorellis, I don't know, maybe you're close by to where that was. And that was back in 1907. And then President Woodrow Wilson, who was at one point the president of Princeton University, officially dedicated the day in 1914. So just as speaking of wars, just as World War I was about to kick off, the president decided to create a national day set aside to honor Mother's Day. And similarly, it was also a church service that stimulated the first observance of a day set aside to honor fathers in our nation. Now, it was not, obviously, since it was a church service, it was not about the societal trappings that I'm not picking. I tend to pick on Hallmark Card Company. I've done that in the past, but it was not Hallmark that stimulated the church service, but they wound up, as we know, came to make great use of that. It was the scriptural importance of both mothers and fathers and our roles in raising or trying our best to raise children that gave rise to these days. Now we know, and I think we all lament what happens in the world once, you know, advertising and sales and marketing take over. But these days that were, again, originally in church services have typically become more about cards, flowers, bad aftershave, let's face that, goofy gifts that, you know, you just struggle to find the right thing, and family events that may or may not be awkward or fun, but that wasn't what it was originally intended. Father's Day specifically originated in Spokane, Washington, when a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd proposed the day to honor fathers after hearing a sermon about Mother's Day in 1909. She wanted to recognize her father, William Jackson Smart. He was a Civil War veteran who raised six children alone after his wife died in childbirth. And the first official celebration of Father's Day took place in Spokane at the YMCA on June 19th, 1910. And it coincided with her dad's birthday. And there were sermons and symbolic roses given to fathers and placed at the gravesides of deceased fathers that were used to commemorate the love and recognition that Sonora Smart wanted to impart on all of us. In Ephesians 6, and I'm reading specifically out of NIV, New International Version, Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4, we see God specifically setting the standard for the relationship between children and their parents. And, you know, in real life, this is often easier said than we all do in practice. But again, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Continuing in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then wrapping in verse 4, which is equally important, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Really important comments there in the scripture. This was first established in the very beginning. If we go back way back to Deuteronomy. So in the book of Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So again, God was setting forth the standard for what he expected of us. He wants mothers and fathers to be focused on raising our children in scripture, in the law, in the commandments. And with the result that if we do that, life would be easier. And specifically in the Lord, in the land that the Lord had set aside for his people. As we further consider the scriptural structure of the relationship, and again, not the greeting card approach, let's consider the example set by Jesus Christ with respect to honoring his Father and our Father in heaven. And Jesus knows what is about to, the scripture we're going to read, he knows what's about to transpire for him. And it's all the more sobering and all the more amazing that he was able to focus so clearly on the Father and his will. So regardless of what is about to happen, he accepts his Father's will and his assignment, his work assignment. And we look to John 17 and verse 4 for this. John 17, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus had free will as well as a human being. And he knew his assignment. He knew he was here, and he was here to honor his Father, his Creator. And he took that very seriously. Jesus was vulnerable as a human being to human emotions. Though, despite that, he never sinned. We know that we've talked about this a lot in the last year specifically. We've really covered this quite a bit in various sermons and sermonettes and editorials. He did experience the pains that we have as human beings, but in the end, in the garden at Gethsemane, Jesus ultimately accepted the will of the Father. We see this in Matthew 26 and verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me." And then, of course, added, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." So again, we see the amazing humanity of the man, Jesus Christ, and the knowledge and wisdom that he was here to do the work of the Father, and yet he had free will, and he chose to honor the Father by accepting that very, very, very difficult assignment, something that I don't think any of us could ever fathom or ever face. But he did. He accepted it. If only we were as obedient as Jesus Christ was and is with the Father, his Father, our Father. Unfortunately, we do sin, unlike Jesus Christ, and we fall short in the standard that he set for us. Time and again, but we have the gift of repentance, which is an amazing, amazing gift. We get to pray, we get to repent in our hearts, in our minds, and try harder. We can all think of the moments in our lives when we were less than kind with our parents, our spouses, our children. I know we regret that, those moments. And There come moments where we really feel that pain of loss, and we can't go back and fix it. We mess up in an instant, and then we spend a lifetime, if we're blessed, trying to overcome the pain that we cause to those we love. As my own parents were dying and I sat with them, I was not thinking about what they did not allow me to do when I was younger, or some slight, you know, the book of slights I've spoken about that I felt. And I only had the feeling of wishing more time to make them happy, make them smile, care for them, listen to a joke. Recalling the moment standing at the ocean's edge, I've spoken about this with Mr. Rank, with waves crashing, holding my father's hand, and in a moment he's gone, and I was alone facing those waves and the threat of a tide that I couldn't control, and he was no longer there for me. But God is. He's our Father that is always there for us, and we can rely on him. In Matthew 17, verse 5, for our final scripture, God the Father answers the question as to how he thinks about the work Jesus did here on earth. So again, it's the relationship back and forth, not just the children obeying the Father, but the Father respecting and caring and loving the children. So Matthew 17, verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus had set a standard of care and obedience with the Father, even when his own life was on the line. While this is a standard we can never meet in our own human existence, we can strive with Jesus as our guide, our mentor, our coach, to do better each and every day. Of course, it's not easy. Again, think repentance. As many of us have lost our parents, and of course, Dave is always on my mind, and a hole in our hearts. We cannot make amends for those things we could have avoided and done better at, but we still honor their memory and our relationship with God the Father by being the best human being we can be, and when we mess up, correct, redouble our efforts not to do that again, and move forward in Jesus Christ.